As the crisis continues in Ivory Coast, church leaders are reiterating Pope Benedict XVI's call to initiate dialogue and avoid further bloodshed in the West African nation. In a statement released Friday, Cardinal Josip Bodzanic, Archbishop of Zagreb and Vice President of the Council of Bishops' Conferences of Europe, prayed that there would be an end to hostilities. He also said the thoughts of the bishops were with civilians caught up in the fighting. Meanwhile, Ivory Coast presidential claimant Alassane Ouattara has called for an end to sanctions and sought to return the war-torn country to normal. In a televised address, the UN-backed Ouattara promised to restore security and utilities, meet basic needs, and pay salaries after 5 months of conflict. Incumbent Laurent Gbagbo, who says he will not cede power, has been blockaded in the presidential residence in Abidjan and is said to have fewer than 1,000 troops still loyal to him. Lydia O'Kane spoke to Tom Cargill, the assistant head of the Africa program at the UK-based Institute for International Affairs, Chatham House.
How long can Laurent Gbagbo really last the course?
Well, that's a good question, to which really no one knows the exact answer. He's holed up in his compound, as far as we're aware, in a bunker underneath his residence. I'm sure it's well stocked. It will have been well prepared over the previous years and so on. So in terms of his own personal survival, I suspect it can be for some time. But of course, that depends upon it being protected by soldiers loyal to him, and we simply don't know how long they'll keep on fighting.
How much is this conflict really dividing Côte d'Ivoire?
Well, Côte d'Ivoire has been divided for a long time. There's been the 10 years of the Civil War when effectively the north of the country was completely cut off from the south, and the north was dominated by the rebels now loyal to President Ouattara. But the divisions actually go back even further than that. There's been a really unpleasant and growing history in recent decades of Cote d'Ivoirean politicians using xenophobia and accusations, particularly against people from the north, that they're somehow not properly citizens, to gain support in the south. And those kind of divisions, it was the resentment at those accusations that started the war, and those kind of divisions will, I'm afraid, take much longer to heal.
What about Alassane Ouattara as well? I mean, he is the internationally recognized leader, but looking at the situation, looking at the fighting that's gone on, and we were even hearing last week about some terrible massacres that had gone on in parts of the country. So what's his standing at the moment?
Well, again, it's uncertain. He initially, when the rebellion broke out in 2002, he distanced himself from the rebels at that time and did not want to be associated with them. And still to this day, his control and a degree of influence he exerts over them is to some extent uncertain. There are some groups who fully support him and say that he is their leader. There are others who have expressed an opinion that they're not completely loyal him in recent weeks and months, and being able to rein all of these forces in and be able to conduct the kind of investigations that are required to weed out some of these killers who've been on the loose conducting these massacres against civilians is going to be a tall order.
I mean, Ivory Coast, Cote d'Ivoire is known as a cocoa exporting country. Obviously, the economy is being affected, and also we see the dreadful humanitarian situation that's unfolding.
That's right. I mean, the struggle may have only just begun, I'm afraid, even though the war is hopefully now drawing to a close. As you say, that the sanctions that the EU and the regional economic community, ECOWAS, placed on on Côte d'Ivoire meant that all cocoa exports and a lot of the financial flows into Ivory Coast were stopped. And this was very important in removing the financial means for Gbagbo to be able to continue to pay off his supporters and continue the war. But now Ouattara needs to turn those taps back on, and quickly too. And as you say, there are many people suffering throughout the country. The suffering of the people in Abidjan is obviously uppermost in most people's minds because that's where the fighting is now. But the suffering of the people, particularly in the north of the country, has gone on for a long time now. And being able to reach out to all of these people and provide the basic services that they so desperately need is going to be a massive priority.
Ouattara is calling for the EU sanctions to be lifted. Is that going to happen, do you think?
It will, yes. I think that as soon as the regional and international community, as they seem to be, are satisfied that the threat from Gbagbo is over, and they'll want to see certain indications that Ouattara is following up on the assurances that he would investigate some of these massacres in the north, apparently carried out by forces claiming loyalty to him. As soon as there are indications that that is in place, then there will be moves. And in fact, I understand there are already moves to try and lift the sanctions.
Looking a little bit into the future, I mean, do you see that Cote d'Ivoire being united, do you see with under eventually someone like Ouattara that he can unite the country, that he can get the economy going, that he can get things moving?
Well, Ouattara, by training is by background rather, is an IMF senior economist in the IMF. So he does have the economic skills. One would hope to be able to at least see the challenges. And I think that his over the last 5 or 6 years, his political journey has demonstrated that he does have the political skills required. So I think he does have the skills. But that's very different from being able to put them into action in the circumstances which are, even for the most advanced country, would be a horrendous challenge. And to do this for Cote d'Ivoire that has suffered so much is going to take some time. I also think it's going to need to look to some of the experiences of other countries that have had to heal terrible divisions between people, such as Northern Ireland and South Africa. I think the process that these countries have been through and indeed are still going through will be enormously important for Cote d'Ivoire in the years ahead.